The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
Hey, good morning. Good to see you. I enjoyed the song service very much, and I appreciate the humble prayer, brother. Please pray for us as we stand before you today. I know some of you haven't come here for very long. You may wonder sometimes why we have different preachers and come up, and of course we understand Brother Tim, Elder Tim McCool, is our pastor here, and we do have a couple other elders in the church that have been ordained to preach, myself and Brother Luke, and so he's kind enough to call on us. He doesn't have to do that, but I appreciate him using us when he sees fit, and I hope that, you know, perhaps in some very small ways, you know, we're occasionally of some assistance or service to him. We certainly want to be, Brother Tim. You know, we don't really use terms in the old Baptist church, at least not here locally, of, you know, assistant pastor or something like that, because we just have one pastor that the Lord's put over the church, Brother Tim. But I know I can speak for Brother Luke, if us others that were ordained could ever assist him in any way, we want to do that. And I just say it publicly, Brother Tim, I hope you would never hesitate to call on us if we can help you, because we do love you. And thank you for calling on me today. We sang just a moment ago that we're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. And we sang a bit before that, that Babylon has fallen. It's fallen, it's fallen. Babylon has fallen to rise no more. What are we really singing about when we sing those songs? Well, Babylon in the Bible is a picture of the world of sin, the world that's out there. Zion, being the name for the old city of Jerusalem in the Bible, is a picture of the kingdom of God, which includes the church that you're part of today and sitting in. I hope it includes your home, wherever you are. The kingdom of God is wherever the Lord is reigning. Right. Now, in the Old Testament, the Israelites fell into sin and fell into idolatry. And so Zion, the city of God, the Jerusalem, was taken captive by Babylon. And because of the sin of Zion, because of the sin of Israel, they had to go and dwell in Babylon for many years until the Lord miraculously delivered them back home to Zion. Right. And ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, the children of God, because of sin, have been made by the judgment of God to dwell for a while here in this world of Babylon until they can be finally delivered back home to Zion into the presence of God. Every person but the Lord Jesus Christ that walks upon the face of this earth or has walked upon the face of this earth was sold into sin when Adam sinned. Right. And so we all sojourn here in Babylon, right, until the Lord takes us home permanently, eternally to Zion. Amen. But as we said before, we should remember as we walk through Babylon out in this world that Babylon has fallen. In the mind of God, it is defeated and its kingdoms are brought low. And we as children of God are in the service of the great King who is on his throne today and who will someday deliver us from Babylon, take us home. It's so precious, though, for a while that we could come in together and dwell here in Zion, right? In the kingdom of God. In Daniel, the first chapter, we read about some young men who were part of the fall of the nation of Israel. Because Israel had sinned and had gone into idolatry, they were carried away from Zion, literally the city of Jerusalem, and were carried away and walked many weeks on the trail to get to a strange place called Babylon. And we're going to read about these young men, but I would ask you to keep in mind that these young men were taken from Zion to Babylon really through no fault of their own. They were very young men. They were carried away because of the sins of their great-grandparents and their grandparents and their parents. And as a result of that, they were forced to go and sojourn in Babylon for their natural lives. Many of them died there. Ultimately, God brought the nation of Israel back home, but many of them spent years of captivity there. And let's read about them here briefly in the first chapter of the book of Daniel. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, that's Zion, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children now, young men. Now, I know they're old enough to talk and get around on their own. I don't know how old they were. In my mind, I kind of picture them as maybe being late teen years, something like that. They were old enough to make the journey from Zion to Babylon, but they were children. They weren't very old. They were not completely into their adulthood, probably. Children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom. I ask you to pay attention to that. We'll talk about that in a moment. They were skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the learning and tongue of the Chaldeans. Those are the Babylonians. So here are young men who have grown up in the city of God, in the nation that the Lord had given his law to. A king comes and takes that nation captive because of the sin of that nation. And these young men, again, they were sinners like us, but they weren't old enough to really have probably taken part in the political process of Israel. They weren't old enough to have really contributed much, I don't think, to the idolatry of Israel. They're just caught up in the midst of the judgment of God on this nation. And they're brought to Babylon, and the plan of the Babylonians is take these young men who are intelligent, who are well-educated, teach them the language of Babylon, teach them the customs of Babylon, give them new names that signify that they are citizens of Babylon, turn them around and make them serve Babylon. That's the plan. Remember, these are young men, young, inexperienced men, but they have great wisdom. Where did they get the wisdom, Brother Neil? Well, they're young. No doubt they were taught some of the Word of God from their parents, from their grandparents. Although they were living in a sinful culture, they knew some things about the Lord. And that knowledge they carried with them in their hearts from their home of Zion all the way over to the kingdom of Babylon. In verse 5, the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And I won't read all this to you today for sake of time, but I would ask you to read it sometimes. And what you will find is that these young men were given new names that reflected not the providence of the God they worshipped, but they were given names that signified that they now belonged to the gods of Babylon. And they were called by those names as they existed here in Babylon. And the king wanted them to drink of his wine and eat his meat. But these young men knew some things that perhaps other people who had been taken into captivity didn't know. They knew the God that they served. And you will find as you read through this chapter that they very respectfully declined the wine of the king and the meat of the king. And they said unto the master of the eunuchs and to his servant, they said, just let us eat pulse. We won't eat the meat and drink the wine of the king. And let us see if our God will reward us for being faithful to the traditions of our fathers, for being faithful to the things that we were taught over in Judah. See, in Judah, they didn't eat pig meat. They didn't eat the rich delicacies of Babylon. These boys were used to something different. Well, what would they have eaten, Brother Neil? Pulse is vegetables. In our modern day vernacular, that would be peas and cornbread to us. Now, they didn't have peas and cornbread because peas came from Africa and corn came from America. But they had barley, and they had different kinds of beans and things like that. So they're allowed to eat those things. They're allowed to eat their traditional native Zion diet, and the Lord blessed them for that. And you could go on over onto verse 17. And as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, the prince of the eunuchs brought them before King Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them. And among them all was found none. There was nobody else like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Why? I would suggest to you it wasn't because necessarily they ate pulse only. It was because they obeyed the Lord. And they carried the knowledge that they learned in Zion over to Babylon, and they stood for God in Babylon. They stood for him in Babylon. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. Babylon, the greatest nation on the face of the earth, with wisdom and understanding about astrology and astronomy and things, some of the things we don't know today, those guys had figured out. And you know what? These simple young men from Zion beat them all. Why? Because they stood for the Lord and the Lord blessed them. And Daniel continued even under the first year of King Cyrus. So brother, no, that's a wonderful story. What does it have to do with us today? Parents, grandparents, every one of your children at some time in their life will stand before the King of Babylon.
Amen.
Every single one. Every one. You say, what do you mean, Brother Neil? Babylon has fallen. That kingdom was destroyed many years ago. But yes, remember though, that you're sitting today in Zion, spiritual Zion.
Right.
And when you leave here, and I've said this before, when you go out there in the world, you're in spiritual Babylon.
Right.
And every one of you young people today that under the sound of my voice, if you're listening on the podcast, it includes you too, you will stand someday before the kings of Babylon. Well, Brother Neil, who are they and what do they look like? Well, it may be your boss someday.
Yeah.
You may have a boss someday that's a wicked, ungodly man or woman that cares nothing for the things of the Lord and that asks you to do things that you know in your heart are wrong. And you know they're wrong because over in Zion, at home by the devotional table, by the fireside, or right here in Zion in the church, you heard that they were wrong. And you'll have to stand before that king, and that king will have the power to fire you and take your income away if you don't do what they say. What will you do? Maybe a college professor someday that says, oh no, you weren't created. I know that those crazy people over there told you that God made you, but listen, you're not created. You're a product of evolution. And all the science that we have and all the smart people in the world, none of them believe in creation. They all believe in evolution. And you're going to have to stand before that person and you're going to have to listen to what they say and regurgitate it for a test. But let me tell you what you don't want to do, young person. Don't eat their meat and drink their wine. Okay? And I'm not talking about steak and Merlot. Okay? I'm talking about the stuff they want to feed you.
Right.
See, these boys were not going to take the substance of Babylon into themselves and make it part of themselves. They weren't going to do it. And the Lord honored them because they didn't do it. And someday when you go out into Babylon and you look at that boss in the eye and they say, I want you to lie on this. I want you to give a false report because it'll help our company and it'll pad your pocket. Or that professor looks at you and says, oh, no, you weren't created. That's crazy. You're a product of evolution. Go out there and have a good time. Enjoy yourself. And you hear that false philosophy, don't eat it and drink it. Listen, that king's wine and that king's meat will corrupt you and it will turn you into something that the Lord never intended for you to be.
Right.
What do I eat, Brother Neil? Think back to what they fed you in Zion when you're in that position. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Amen.
And meditate on those scriptures you learned. And parents, if your kids hadn't learned any, you need to be teaching them some. Because spiritually speaking, they're going to have to eat something in this life. You do not want them drinking the wine of Babylon and eating the meat of Babylon when that time comes. They need to have something in their heart that is a substance of Zion. Something that they have carried away from Zion that will sustain them like these guys did. You say, well, Brother Neil, when that time comes, you know, and we look back at the example of these guys, you know, what do we see that happened to them? You know, how did the Lord treat them? For sticking to the diet of Zion, you might say. for putting away the king's wine and the king's meat and dwelling on the things of the Lord in a spiritual sense. Well, you know, as you read on through Daniel, you find out that these men here in the first chapter, they're in the king's favor. They're the smartest guys in the country. They got it figured out. You go over to the third chapter, though, and Nebuchadnezzar gets this crazy idea. He's going to build this huge golden image, and they're going to bow down to it. And if they don't, he's going to cast them into a fiery furnace. And you know what these young men do? They're not eating the king's meat. They're not having the king's wine. And as they stand there before the king, they say, King, live forever, O king. But we'll tell you what, our God can deliver us from your fiery furnace. But if it not be so, we will not bow down to your image. And the king scoops them up and his men take them and throw them into the fiery furnace. And the king himself looks down in that furnace and there's those three young men, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, But they're not alone in that fire, are they? These are the young men who wanted the diet of the king of Zion. They didn't want to have anything to do with the diet of the king of Babylon. And when it came time for them to walk through the fire, to stand before the king of Babylon, and to make a statement and a stand for the Lord, did the Lord forget them? No. And I know you've heard it preached, but it's precious to me to think about it every time. And remember it when you stand before the kings of Babylon someday, young person, and he picks you up and he says, I'm going to throw you in the fire. I'm going to fire you. I'm going to fail you. I'm going to judge you because you won't have my meat. Let me tell you what I can do to you. Oh, don't you forget what the Lord does for his children. When they walk through that fire, he's with them. And the king looks down and he sees there's one with him like the Son of God. And they come out of that fire and the only thing burn off of their bodies were the bonds that they used to tie them up to throw them in. The king of Zion will deliver his children from Babylon. He might do it in death. He might do it in a miracle. But he will take care of you. In the sixth chapter of the book of Daniel, Daniel himself gets called to task. Nebuchadnezzar's dead. Nebuchadnezzar's son is dead. Nebuchadnezzar's grandson is dead. There's a new political power on the scene. The Medes have taken over Babylon now. And Darius is king. And some men conspire and they say, Darius, show your omnipotence. Darius, show how great you are. Make a law that says that no one can pray to anyone but you for the next 30 days. And the kingdom is made aware of this law. What do you think Brother Daniel did? You think he bowed down and prayed to King Darius? No, sir. They tell him about the law and he goes home and he does what he's done for the last 70, 80 years, however old he was at that time. He bows down and prays to the God of Zion. When the world says it's dumb to pray, it's dumb to come to church, just get up and go anyway. Because let me tell you something. When it gets right down to it, the kings of Babylon are fallen. The king of Zion is on his throne. And you know what happened with Brother Daniel? He goes home and prays. And these wicked enemies that he had, they report him to the king. And the king who loves Daniel is bound by his law. And he has his men take up Daniel and they throw him into this den of ravenous lions. And you know what the Lord does? He comes down. Either he or one of his angels shuts the mouths of those lions. And when the king comes back out the next day, all fraught and upset and just in agony over the fact that he has condemned this good man to death, the king even has a little bit of faith. He calls out, Daniel, are you there? Are you alive? And Daniel says, oh, king, don't worry. I'm fine. You see, Daniel served a God who rules the lions. Daniel served a God who has authority over that lion that's out there in Babylon that wants to eat you. Amen. Satan.
Amen.
And all of Satan's minions and his demons, they're nothing before our Savior. So you see, when you leave Zion, and again, I believe that's the church here. If you've been raised in a godly home, your home is part of Zion too. If the Lord is being lifted up and praised there and prayer is being offered and you're learning Bible verses, that's part of Zion too.
Amen.
And when you leave that and you go out and you stand before these kings of Babylon, you need to have something in your heart that will sustain you.
Amen.
I started to title this message, You Are What You Eat. But then, you know, I was thinking about that this morning, and I remembered all the little Saturday morning cartoons when I was a kid, and, you know, you'd have Bugs Bunny on, and then some other cartoon would come on, and then this crazy infomercial that the government would come out, you know, it would come on, and it would say, you are what you eat, and it'd sing this little ditty, and it would compare, you know, a stalk of broccoli to a candy bar. And, you know, I eat broccoli, but they never deluded me into thinking that candy bars taste like broccoli. Do you ever fall for that? You know, they never did. But still, the concept was right. You are what you eat. If you eat your spiritual food in Zion, you know, you're going to be strong like Zion.
Yeah.
Okay? You'll be able to stand up before the kings of Babylon and say, hey, I don't need your meat. Say it respectfully, okay? Don't get kicked out of your college class for being a smart aleck. But don't digest what they're feeding you if it's something ungodly.
Amen.
Don't make it part of you. You see, their desire, okay, is to do to you what King Nebuchadnezzar tried to do to these men. What did he try to do to him, Brother Neil? He taught them his language. To make a living in life, to succeed in the world, you're going to have to learn the language of the world. The language of Zion is much more beautiful and lovely, and I heard you singing it this morning. It's beautiful. But you got to know a few facts and figures to make a living out there in Babylon, okay? That's fine. So they learned the language of the king of Babylon, and that was okay. They learned a lot of knowledge. These guys spent 3 years studying, and at the end of it, they were smarter, 10 times smarter than all the other geniuses in Babylon. But you know what they also did to them is they changed their names. See, some of y'all are going to, some of y'all are in college right now. Some of you probably are getting close to graduating or already have. You're doing college, you're doing early college, whatever. You know what the purpose of all that is to add something to your name. And if you're not very careful, what's added to your name will change who you are. After 8 years in school, they added an MD to my name. I look back and I think at the time it was just much dumber. Some of y'all got a BS or a BA, or you got a trade after your name, or you have a military, certificate. I mean, some rank in the military after your name. You're so and so, and then here's your rank, commander, or whatever. See, that's what Babylon does. It takes Neil Honey, and it puts Neil Honey through a process where Neil Honey learns a lot about Babylon, and he learns some good things, and he learns some bad things. And the end of it all, Babylon's hope is that Neil Honey's not Neil Honey anymore. That Neil Honey is now something else. That Neil Honey is now a part of Babylon. Now, I appreciate the degree Babylon gave me because this helped me earn a living for those 7 kids back there. But that's not who I am, you see. If you go out to get that degree and to get that name change and to get that certification and you eat the king's meat and you make it part of who you are to the point that it changes the way you think and it makes you forsake the faith of your fathers and the things that you were taught, that degree, that addition on your name, whatever it is, will not be a blessing to you.
Right.
It could be a curse. Because the kings of Babylon would like for you to act like them. But remember, you sang about it a few minutes ago. Babylon is fallen. It is fallen to rise no more. And when I stand before the kings of Babylon, whether it's a boss, whether it might be even a, it could be a military commander, it could be that professor, it, God forbid, could even be someone in your own family. And they are demanding of you. And they're putting pressure on you. And they're saying, cave, eat our meat. What do I eat, Brother Neil? What would sustain me in that hour? And close and turn me to Proverbs chapter 4. And we'll look at that. Because you'll recall that we read twice in the first chapter of Daniel that these young men were full of wisdom. What is wisdom? There's a lot of definitions out there for wisdom. But wisdom is basically filtering the decisions of your life through the Word of God. Filtering your thoughts through the Word of God. You know, it's wise to marry someone who's a Christian. You know, that's wise. That's part of wisdom. It's wise to live a godly life. It's wise not to get drunk. It's wise not to commit a fornication. That's all wisdom of God. And the people out in Babylon, let me tell you, they are preciously short of that. You won't get that much of that in Babylon. If you're blessed to have a Christian home, you're going to get some wisdom there, I hope. You get some wisdom here in Zion. If you've been blessed maybe to attend a Christian school where, prayers are offered, you're going to get some wisdom there. But I can tell you, I've spent a lot, most of my life now, outside the actual church service on Sunday, in Babylon. I've met some nice people. And they're not all bad out there. But let me tell you, they are really short on the food of Zion. The wisdom that we get from God. These are some words here. That were written down for us about 3,000 years ago in the Proverbs. Okay? I don't believe they've changed much.
Amen.
If at all, in the sense of wisdom still being wisdom. It may be packaged a little differently. You can get wisdom now on a podcast. Did you know that? Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church has a podcast. A lot of the other Baptist churches have a podcast. You could get wisdom driving down the road on yourself, listening on your phone or in your car. You don't always have to come now. It's not always in one place. But this is the primary place.
Right.
This is the primary place. You don't forsake Zion and meeting here with your brothers and sisters for a podcast or a TV, message or something like that. Here's what he said. Get wisdom and get understanding, verse 5. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, talking about wisdom. Don't forsake your wisdom. When you go into Babylon and you get a lot of knowledge, don't forsake the wisdom, see? Because all the knowledge in the world won't do you any good if you don't have wisdom. Some of the smartest people in the world that could come in here right now and fix your brain if you'd had some massive stroke and save your life have no idea how to save their marriage because they don't have wisdom. Okay? Wisdom is the principal thing. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I believe it's the 20th verse, Paul says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? You see, God's brought their wisdom to nothing. He's got his own wisdom. And that's the wisdom we want to be chewing on and digesting. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. It's okay to get the MS, the BA, the RN, the whatever they want to tag on your name. That's okay if the Lord's in it and you prayed about it and you thought it's the right thing to do. You got to do something to earn a living in this life. That's okay. But with all you're getting, don't forget about the wisdom, see? See, that's the principal thing. Exalt her and she shall promote thee. What happened to Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah? I'm going to tell you something now. They were not the only people taken captive from Judah. Where were all the rest of them? I'll submit to you that some of those folks that went didn't have wisdom. They took the king's meat. And 4 or 5 years went by and they looked like everybody else in Babylon. That's why you're not reading about them in the Bible today, I would suppose and suggest to you. But the guys that had wisdom were promoted by their wisdom. You may not always be promoted in Babylon. In the first chapter of Daniel, those guys were promoted. The king says, hey, he examines them himself, and they're 10 times smarter than everybody else. 2 chapters later, he's throwing 3 of them in the fire. And 5 chapters later, poor old Daniel as an old man is getting thrown into a den of lions. Wisdom, though, will promote you in Zion. It will promote you in the eyes of the Lord. And it will help you keep his laws. And she shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Babylon has got some crowns. And some of Babylon's crowns are not really all bad, again. Okay? There's some honors you can get out in Babylon that aren't necessarily evil. But what kind of crown do you really want to have? You know what? If the Lord leaves me here another 30 years, I hope I could have a crown of gray hair like some of these old warriors in Zion. And my family would know that no matter what else Dad did, he was faithful. Sister Diane, you and I have talked about that. And what she said, I don't know if y'all could hear her. She said, you need to come to church when you can. Because the day will come when you can't. I hope if I ever get there, my crown is, hey, he wanted to be at church. That everybody around me knows that. Hear, O son, and receive my saying, and the years of your life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken lest they cause some to fall. I am closing here, but when I read this verse, you know what I thought about? I thought about a lot of young people that I've seen out in Babylon stumbling around in the middle of the night, in the middle of a bunch of mess, somewhere they shouldn't have been, and catastrophe falls upon them. I have seen it happen. I've taken care of them in the hospital. I'm not trying to be too plain, but my heart says to you young people today, hide wisdom there. Brother Tim has preached to you before, nothing good happens after midnight. He's right, right? Don't stumble around in the dark out in Babylon. Make the Word of God a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your path. Let it lead you home. Let it lead you to Zion. Amen. Where you can be safe and be blessed and where wisdom can promote you. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. What was Nebuchadnezzar really offering those guys that day? Now, you find out later on in Daniel that Nebuchadnezzar turns out okay too, but boy, he goes through some trials first. He was offering them that. The drink of wickedness. The bread of sin. Brothers and sisters, I love you. I hope I haven't sounded mad today, because I really love you. But don't drink that. Don't eat that.
Amen.
You are what you eat. And parents, y'all pray for me that I'll be doing this. I'll pray for you. We need to be feeding these little ones some good bread. And we need to be giving them some water from that sweet river of life that flows from the very throne of God. His Word. They need to see His Spirit manifested in our lives. And let's give them something to eat and drink that the King of Babylon doesn't have.
Amen.
Thank you for your time. I love you.